You are listening to Stitch Wish Radio, a podcast for crafting your own magic and threads. I'm your host, textile artist, author, and teacher, Christy Johnson.
Hey, and welcome back to Stitch Wish Radio. So today I want to talk about the concept of zero waste pattern making when it comes to garment construction. So this is a concept that is all about using every square inch of a fabric, which, if we're working with squares and rectangles in our patterns, it's actually not that complicated. Did you know that until recent centuries, garments were cut mostly from rectangular shapes to utilize the entire piece of fabric? Even complex garments with like collars and cuffs and gathers were often composed of square and rectangular pieces that, for the most part, tended to lock into one another. This was based on the inherent shape of a piece of fabric, so the warp and weft that make up the process of weaving means that nearly all fabric begins as a rectangle. So the warp is the long, strong threads that are held taut by the loom or the weaver in some cases, and the weft is woven through these to create fabric. Though there were many methods and tools that made weaving faster than the manual over and under of picking up each individual warp thread, weaving was always still a very time-consuming process. And it came at the end of a lengthy series of other equally time-consuming processes. So before industrialization, considering the amount of time spent harvesting, processing, spinning, and weaving the fabric, to cut a bunch of curves into the shape, I imagine would be thought of as like heresy, or at the very least, a really questionable decision. Like, what were they thinking? Oh, and fun fact, so the term Luddite actually refers to a group of weavers who would destroy new textile machineries introduced to the factories they were worked in. Machines like looms or knitting machines. This was in England in the early 1800s. Though they're said to be like anti-machinery, it was really just a form of making demands from their employers who were attempting to either cut their wages or worse, replace their positions with lower wage workers. So more so than this being an attack on the machines themselves, they weren't like, oh, we hate machines. They were like, we hate these machines have increased profits for the higher ups without any reflection of that profit increase in our own wages. Sound familiar? Anyways, I've included an interesting article, not exactly like a light, easy read, but it's about the real intentions behind these machine records. So I've included that in the show notes if you want to read that. Anyways, back to the topic. If you look back a few hundred years at more traditional garment shapes, they are constructed almost entirely out of rectangles in order to get the most out of the fabric. Some of these styles are still very popular and we know of, so you may be familiar with the shape of the poncho and the kimono. The poncho, which is a popular Central American style of clothing, can be made either by cutting a large rectangle with a hole in the neck, so half of the rectangle goes to the back of the body, half of the rectangle goes to the front, or more likely, the poncho is created by joining two long, narrow rectangles at the front and back, leaving a slit open for the neck. The reason the second version was probably more popular comes down to human anatomy. So imagine for a minute you are sitting at a loom that you've got at home. You probably don't have the space for those giant, like 60-inch wide looms, something like what we would see in a modern weaving studio. And above that, you might even want this loom to be portable so you can take it with you to join in community or watch kids or livestock out in the field or do whatever people did before electricity. In this case, it might be easiest if this loom was quite narrow, perhaps no longer than the width of the space in between your shoulders. This allows you to easily pass the threads through the long warp without having to do too much overextending. Looking at another extremely popular traditional garment you're probably familiar with, the kimono, Japanese kimono, is also made with these narrower widths of fabric. So without knowing a whole lot about Japanese weaving and textile arts, just by looking at the kimono construction, we can easily see that kimonos are traditionally made using narrow widths of fabric. So much like the body of the poncho, the left and the right side of a kimono are one long strip, folded over the shoulder, and then they are sewn together at the back and the sides, left open in the front. If you look at the sleeves on the kimono, the sleeves are the exact same width as these front and back panels, folded over the top of the arm and cut straight across the bottom of the sleeve, leaving very little, if any, wasted fabric. These right angles may initially seem to defy all the curves of the body, but the gentle drape of natural fibers, in the case of the kimono, the popular silk and lightweight cotton options, or in the case of ponchos, heavier cottons and wools, these natural fibers tend to create really appealing garments as they drape on the body. More recently, these methods of imagining garments that leave no waste have become popularly known as zero-waste pattern making. But this is by no means a new concept. This approach ensures that every inch of fabric is utilized, leaving no room for waste, hence the name zero waste. This method highlights the elegance of a beautiful piece of fabric while embracing the need for environmental consciousness. So this beautiful unity of form, function, and ideals. One of my favorite resources for zero waste pattern making ideas is an unfortunately out of print book. It's called Cut My Coat, and it's by Dorothy K. Burnham. So it's this tiny little pamphlet that's been published by the Royal Ontario Museum that is apparently a collectible and goes for lots of money, which is really annoying. But luckily, some of the best gems of the book can be found via a Google image search. It's literally like 60 pages or something. This book highlights the construction of traditional clothing from around the world, not only showing line drawing images of the garment as it would be sewn, but also the garment as she, the author Dorothy K. Burnham, as she imagines it may have been cut out. So basically a pattern template. And it proves how neatly these traditional pieces fit onto a piece of fabric. I also cover some of these methods and go into detail on them as part of my soft work course to help inspire new ways of dreaming up old patterns. One element of zero waste pattern making that you might be questioning right now is, well, that's nice and all, but how do I use this to create different sizes? Is everybody just the same size? If the width of a fabric is fixed, doesn't that mean the garment can only be one size? Now, this is where proper planning comes in. The key to zero waste construction is to optimize pattern placement of the fabric to use every inch efficiently, ensuring minimal leftover scraps. This means much more time spent in the planning phase. I'll oftentimes ruminate on how to cut out a garment for days or even weeks before jumping into cutting because of this. So this means that each size of a garment might need to be laid out a little bit differently. You know, you might need to shift the pieces around depending on what size it is. Not each size is going to have the same cutting layout. And this is the same in traditional pattern making too. You'll notice anytime you get like a pattern from the store, it always has different cutting layouts for each different size. To see some real solid examples of this, you may want to grab a copy of the new book called Zero Waste Pattern Making that came out recently. It shares a handful of styles using these zero waste methods, and it also explains ways to create the same patterns in different sizes. While I admittedly haven't read the whole thing, it does seem pretty inclusive and open-ended when it comes to making things in different sizes. Now, well, let's looking back into history for the poncho example, if you wanted to make a larger size with that, you could, even with that same narrow width of fabric for the left and the right panels, you could cut out horizontal strips of this narrow fabric, patch them on their short ends together, turn them vertically, and insert them maybe at the center front and center back or at the side seams, or just make those left and right panels double width. You may also be wondering, what if I want to create less boxy shapes? What if I want like a narrow top and a wide sweeping hemline? I've seen some incredible examples in the Cut My Coat book that take the rectangle, they cut the rectangle on a diagonal, and then turn one of these two triangles upside down. By adding these two resulting bottom-heavy triangles to the narrow rectangle, you end up with a much more elegant A-line shape. So just a note, when you cut a rectangle on the diagonal like that, you end up with two triangles heading in the same direction. So let's say you're working with a printed fabric, it doesn't look the same on both sides. You'd want to cut two rectangles at different angles so that you would have two right-facing triangles and two left-facing triangles. Otherwise, you essentially end up with four left-facing triangles, which is like the pattern-making equivalent to dancing with two left feet. Another interesting way to consider applying zero-waste methods I learned from the zero-waste pattern-making book I mentioned, and that is by using the offcuts. So let's say you have a triangle that you cut out at the shoulder because you wanted to angle that shoulder down, like the natural slope of the shoulder. So you've got this little triangle left. You could then use that leftover triangle as a facing at the hem of the garment. So let's say you want like a little slit at the hem. The triangle could be sewn into this slit to help reinforce this area. Same goes for the circular shape cut out at the neckline. This circular shape could also be used as a rounding facing at the hem or a fun style detail. Or, I'm just kind of winging it here, you could cut the front curve of the neckline, and instead of cutting out the back curve, you could just fold that front piece to the back of the shirt, finish the cut edge at the front, and then the back neck would be on the fold. you could then stitch that cutout, that cutout down to the back panel. And I haven't tried this method. I'm just like throwing inspirational spaghetti at the clothing making idea wall at this point. But I don't know, maybe I'll try it and make a YouTube video about it. Let's see. Anyways, the coolest thing in my personal opinion about zero waste patterns is that on top of being less wasteful, they're also inherently so much easier to sew. Like if you've ever tried sewing a set in sleeve, so it's like these two opposing curved shapes, and you ended up with those two shapes not matching up, you know what I'm talking about. Now, the curved edges of a set in sleeve are obviously more form-fitting, but is that always what we want? Like, do we need clothes to always be really fitted on the body, or can we start to reconsider what we think of as well-fitting? I go deeper into this in a previous episode, considering the cuts of our cloth. If you want to hear more about that, you can check that out. Another thing about zero waste pattern making that I really love is that it allows the beauty of a high quality natural fabric to shine. So like a simple silk caftan, for example, is this giant rectangle with a hole in the top, and it just shines as it lays on the body. No curved seaming necessary. Now, what about knits? While jersey fabric, so the t-shirt fabric that we're familiar with, is very new in the field of textiles, the act of knitting and crocheting, when you think about it, is inherently zero waste. You might have like a few yards of yarn left over from that ball, but that yarn can always be woven or knitted into a new garment without having to do much transformation, as opposed to a fabric, when you have these like tiny little scraps left, those tiny scraps are kind of hard to reconstruct. All right, well, I hope this episode has inspired you to consider new ways of cutting out garments, or if you've never sewn a garment before, just gave you some ideas of how making garments could be done in a very simple way with the right fabrics. On this same theme, I'm going to be sharing some ways of repurposing and upcycling fabric next month, so stay tuned for that episode. And in the meantime, if you want to learn more about zero waste pattern making, check out either the two books I've mentioned, Cut My Coat and Zero Waste Pattern Making, or jump into my soft work course. It's not a zero waste course by any means, but it does explore many of these concepts of zero waste pattern making and zero waste sewing in more detail. So, all right. I will be back in 2 weeks interviewing my good friend Pam. I can't wait to share that interview with you. So, yeah.